Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you all here. Let's begin by standing together and turning to hymn number 209, and we'll sing This Is the Day prayer. Father, we praise you for what Jesus did that day on Calvary's cross, where he took all of our sin upon himself and paid our debt. The punishment was vented in full, the punishment we deserved and that we would have received were it not for him. But Father, he did come. He did die in our place. He was the sacrifice lamb to pay the price for all of our sins. We thank you that he was crucified, buried, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, is seated at your right hand, and we're awaiting his return. And that through faith in him alone, trust in him and his finished work, that's how we got saved, that's how we came into the kingdom, and that's how we stay there. By his grace alone and that gift that you gave us that we can never lose. Father, we praise you for all of this, for the grace and the joy and the mercy and the love that you have showered on us. It is our prayer, Father, that each person here today has already trusted in Christ, knows him, and is rejoicing in this time of worship. If there are any here today who have not yet made that choice, who have not made that decision, we pray that they would do so today before they leave, that they put their trust in Jesus and be saved, be born again by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Spirit's presence here in this hour, and we pray that you would be moving, he would be moving in each of us. Bless Pastor as he brings the message in just a short while. Fill him with your Spirit. Use him to convey the word to us. We pray that the worship and the praying time and all that goes on in this hour will glorify you, lift up the name of Jesus, draw us closer to you and to one another. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue.
Father, we thank you for your grace and love to us today. We just thank you, Lord, for the Allensons and the ministry that they have down there in Mexico City. They've been there now for almost 20 years and have established these three churches. And we just pray for each one. We pray for these requests that they mention that you might undertake for them. We pray for Rebecca, that you'll see her through this surgery and that she will continue to be able to cope with the disease that she has. Lord, we just ask you to guide and direct all of our missionaries. We thank you for each one that we have the privilege of supporting or helping support, and we just pray your blessings upon each one. We pray for our church this morning. We pray for those who are here with us today, and we pray for those who cannot be. Pray for those that are ill. We know Peggy Chanot is not feeling well with her eyes, and Jane Wagner, and perhaps others are having physical problems. We pray that you'll undertake for them. We do pray, Father, too, for our country. We pray that you'll help us. We think of the terrible tornadoes down in Mississippi and other things that have happened around and about the country, out in California with all the rain and everything. We just pray, Father, that many will turn to you in this hour of need. And Lord, we just ask you to guide and help us here that we might be faithful and do your will in all things. May Christ Jesus, our Lord, be glorified. We pray in his name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is going to be from Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Beginning at verse 21. Matthew 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we find so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coasts of Magdala. So may the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Turn once again to Matthew chapter 15. This is also found in Mark chapter 7. There's a few different details of there, these two passages. But we'll take a look at this. I wanted to say Friday night we had the movie about the story of Fanny Crosby. Very interesting. And this lady, they say she probably wrote about 10,000 gospel songs. Can you imagine? 10,000? My goodness. They said she wrote so many songs, you know, and instead of just putting her name, she used all these different pseudonyms. You know, all these different people. You didn't even realize she was the one that authored many of them. But it was really interesting. She, of course, was blind from the time she was just a baby. A doctor blinded her with some kind of poultice as he put on her eyes, and she spent her whole life blind, but she didn't let that slow her down. You know, it's kind of convicting when you think about it. Here's this lady that did so much, and a teacher of the other blind children and all that, in spite of her own infirmity. She didn't just go off and sit in the corner and say, I can't see. Isn't that something? Okay, that's just a little commercial. We're going to have another movie, I think, in April, are we? Maybe. We'll see. Okay, well, keep that in mind and something else to look forward to. All right. Last week, we saw how Jesus had an encounter with the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, and about their tradition. This was the main idea that we were looking at, traditions and their rituals and how important that was to them, that they follow this. And they were highly offended that Jesus accused them of disobeying the commandments of God with their traditions. You remember what it was? They said that one of the traditions was, at least, that they could not care for their aging parents. They could rather give the money to the temple or turn it over to the temple somehow. I don't know exactly how it worked. But they still had possession of it, but it was a gift to the temple. Now, how can that be? I'm not quite sure. But anyhow, they had turned it over to the temple, and therefore they didn't have to care for their parents. And Jesus lashed them strongly with this terrible situation that they would not care for their parents when it says, honor your father and your mother, right? That your days may be long upon the land that you live on. So anyway, they twisted that around. But this was something, they were offended. The disciples said here, that did you know that the Jews were offended at what you told them? And we find here a gap growing more and more between Jesus and the Pharisees and other religious leaders. So it's getting more and more complicated in a sense. But now Jesus is going to be going to the Gentiles. We find that here, the transition, that is going to happen. This is something that we've already read before, that Jesus is not only dealing with the Jews, but also with the Gentiles. Let's look back at Matthew 12 for just a minute. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 17. This is a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. And it says, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So this is a prophecy long before the time of Jesus, when he said that when he does come, eventually he is going to go and work with the Gentiles. So they will trust in him. And we're so glad that that has happened. Because I think most of us are probably Gentiles. And we have come to trust in Jesus. So now, we find in our scripture here, Jesus and his disciples left Israel and went about 50 miles to the area of Tyre and Sidon, which today would be in Lebanon, modern-day Lebanon. And it seems that the Lord is still trying to find a place to rest away from the crowds. He wants to go on vacation, so to speak, right? And perhaps teach the disciples. And he wanted to be alone. He went into the house. But then it says, but he could not be hid. He couldn't hide. There was no place to go. And we find here this certain woman that comes. There it says, a woman of Canaan. So she was certainly a Gentile. And it calls her, in Mark, it calls her a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Greek. And we find this her problem here. First of all, she was not one of God's chosen people. She was not an Israelite. And she came and she cried unto him and she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. So she recognized who he was. She knew he had come to the Jewish people first. But now she's crying out saying, have mercy on me. This is her cry. Even though I'm not one of your people, She was a Gentile. She did not have the Holy Scriptures like the Jews did. And she did not have a covenant relationship with God like the sons of Abraham did. God had made the covenant with Abraham and his descendants. So she had all that. Look with me in Ephesians 2:11. Let's see here. Here, Paul is writing to the Ephesians who were Gentiles. And he says in verse 11, "Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So here we find the difference Jesus makes, right? He tears down the wall between the Jews and the Gentiles, and we all can come to him. He on the cross, dying for us that we might have salvation. So this woman, she didn't have any of that. She didn't at this time. She was estranged from Israel. But notice, she had a real problem that she needed to have remedied. Her daughter was demon-possessed. It says here, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And this mother comes upset, of course, and she has faith in Jesus that he can heal her. Now, how she got that, I don't know. Maybe she heard from others that he had healed them and this kind of thing. But here he had come now into Gentile territory, and we find that she is begging him to meet her need and to heal her daughter, to take away this terrible demon that had tormented her life. She had to stand by and watch her daughter go through all of this suffering, torment that the demon put her through. Satan had her in his clutches. You know, I was thinking about that today often. We find similar situations. Children and young people bound by Satan, by sin, and their mothers and fathers agonize over them to no avail. They can't. What can they do? The children go off and maybe a little bit older. This was a young child here. But even when they get a little older, they're bound by drugs and other sinful activities, habits, godless lifestyle. What can a parent do in a case like that? You know, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? And Satan so often has his way in the life of these children. And they can only be set free, right, by the power of God. And Jesus, here, she comes to the right person. She comes to the one that can meet her need. And here, She has her prayer, her petition, if you will. She says that she needs to have him. She cried unto him for mercy. Somehow she recognized that he had the answer. And she had learned about him and had now comes calling him Lord and Son of David. She recognized his position, who he was. I don't know if she understood everything, but at least she came to the right place. And she received no answer. Did you see that? Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. What do you think about that? Here Jesus rebuffed this woman. He just didn't even bother to answer her. He answered her not a word. Her passionate plea was met with silence. Does that sound like Jesus? Wow. We don't understand everything, do we? Anyway, we find her persistence. Notice this. In verse 23, it says, he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She cries after us. You see? So she's bothering Jesus, and she's bothering the disciples, and they say, get rid of this woman. Take her away from here. What in the world? She's a Gentile. We don't want to have anything to do with her. We were talking about racism this morning in Sunday school a little bit, right? And there's enough of that to go around. You know, when you got different kinds of people. And here we find they were turning her away. They didn't want her to bother them. It's the same thing. You remember when we looked at the 5,000 being fed? You know, they were out there in the wilderness, and Jesus said, we need to give these people something to eat. And he said, oh, send them away. You know, let them go back to their villages and buy something on their own, right? But Jesus said, no, we're going to take care of that. And he does this again here with the 4,000. We'll see that in a few minutes. But anyway, she refused to give up. She's continuing on. I remember the story about the widow lady, you remember, that went to the judge, this unjust judge, with her problem. She said, you need to take care of this, you need to help me. And she just kept going back and kept going back and kept going back until finally he did it, right? He did what she wanted. And Jesus said, if this unjust judge is going to do that, then won't God answer your prayers? If you're really serious about it, you know? Well, anyway, we find here this lady just keeps on. She refused to give up. And she fell down at his feet and worshiped him. In verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She recognized him as Lord, the one who was able to meet her need. And she worshiped him. Then Jesus answered her. Before he hadn't said anything, and now in verse 26, he said, it is not meet or fit to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. What in the world is going on here with Jesus? You know, loving Jesus, calling this woman a dog. My goodness. You know, he said no first time, and now he calls her a dog. And this was common among the Jews. They thought of the Gentiles as dogs. They're outside, you know. There's no hope for them. You know, just leave them alone. Stay away from them. And that kind of thing. But here he's saying, my main mission is to the Jewish people. This is the reason I'm here. And that's the way it started out, right? But now it's going to gradually change. And this lady is the first one that he is actually dealing with. And she said, notice her response to this. She said, "That's true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's tables." She was humble enough and, I guess, desperate enough to say, "Yes, if you want to call me a dog, call me a dog. Just do what I ask you to do." Right? See? And these dogs that we're talking about, this was the ones in the pets. You know, you are, many of you have pets, don't you? Dogs and cats and things. I know you do. And you take care of them and all that and feed them and all this. But Jesus, she says to Jesus, she said, "Even the little dogs under the table eat the crumbs and the things that the children will drop on the floor," right? And they get their nourishment that way. So please, please help me. So this is what she's doing here. Her humility, her self-abasement. She says, "Lord, I need you so much." She was willing to be considered even a dog in order to have the need met. And her faith. Notice her faith, verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her," Jesus recognized it, right? "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Great is thy faith. I was reading about that, and it said there were only two times that, two times it's recorded anyway, that Jesus said, "You have great faith." He told the disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith," right? But here, this Gentile lady, he says, "You've got great faith." And there was one other time he told the centurion who came to him, a Roman centurion, who asked for his servant to be healed. He says, "I have not found so great a faith in Israel." You see, God's chosen people, these Gentiles, showed more faith than they did. And so he says, "I'm going to answer your prayer. Be it unto you as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He healed her completely. It says, "When she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed." So she healed her. He healed her completely from a long distance, right? And Jesus is able to do that. And then we move on. We find after that, Jesus goes up into the mountain, sits down, and the people start coming. Now the thing here is, we're talking about being the Gentiles. This is the change that's taking place. He's already answered the prayer for this lady. And now he goes up into the mountain and sits down, and the people start coming to him. And they bring those who are infirm. And these are apparently Gentiles. And he heals all these different diseases and problems that they had. It lifts off the lame, the blind, the dumb, those who can't speak, the maimed, and many others. And he cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. He's able, right? He's able to meet whatever need that a person might have. And here he's reaching out to these Gentile people and bringing them the things that they need at this time. And then once again we have this miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. Now you have to remember these are two different events. I know some people try to put put them together and say, oh, well, he's expressing the same thing. But it's different. This is in a different place. It's in a different time. The 5,000 was in the spring, and this is in the summertime. The 4,000 are fed. And notice what it says in verse 32. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes. That was the same thing he said when he fed the 5,000, right? He had compassion on them. He saw them. He said, they've been with me now for 3 days and haven't eaten anything. Can you imagine that? I don't think, I don't know of any congregation that would be willing to do that. And yet they did. 3 days, and they haven't had anything to eat, so let's feed them. He says, I don't want to send them away or they'll faint on the way home. And so the disciples said, well, we don't have anything. What do you want us to do? How much food would we need to feed 4,000 people? Wow. And Jesus said unto them, well, what have you got? They said, well, we've got seven. Seven loaves and a few little fishes. How far would that go? Well, anyway, we know, of course, the story. He commanded them all to sit down. He took the food and he broke it, passed it out to who? The disciples. I mentioned that last time when we were talking about the 5,000. Jesus did not give the food to the people. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples fed the people. You see? It's our job to feed the people. Spiritually, physically, or whatever it is. And here we have, he's telling them, you give them this food. They went, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. Wow. And this time, there's 2 different Greek words for this, right? And the first time, when they fed the 5,000, they were little baskets. Small baskets for individual people, right? This time, these kind of baskets were much larger. And you could put a lot more in them. Okay, anyway, they had 7 big baskets left over. And they did all eat. There were 4,000 men beside women and children. So we got a huge crowd of people here, and they were all filled and satisfied and able to go along, remembering what Jesus had told them and rejoicing in all that he had said, no doubt. And he went on his way, took his ship, and went to another place, to Magdala. All right, so here we have the wonderful way that Jesus is now reaching out into the Gentiles. It's starting out very small, this one lady. First of all, he acted like he wasn't going to help her, and then he did. And now he fed the 4,000 Gentiles, reaching out more and more. And we find out later, of course, it branched out more and more as Jesus made himself available to more and more people. And things have changed until today, of course. The church around the world is mostly Gentile, but he's still reaching the Jewish people as well, right? And he's seeking to bring them to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, the disciples seem to have trouble with learning what Jesus was going to do. And they didn't believe him until he actually did something, like feeding these 4,000 people. Maybe he thought that he wouldn't do that for the Gentiles. I don't know, perhaps. And then we have the way that he goes on about his work. And we're getting close to the Easter season. We'll be looking more at the cross and what that means to us, and to the resurrection. So anyway, we find is Jesus is more and more estranged from the authorities, the Jewish leaders, and now he's going to be put on the cross for our sins, that we might be redeemed. You know, it's wonderful to think of all that Jesus has done for us in offering himself on the cross, that we might have everlasting life. And I hope and pray that each one of us know that and understand the salvation that we have through faith in him. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by his mercy that he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And we are saved by his grace and by his mercy. And I hope each and every one of us know that, and that we are depending upon that for our salvation. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word to our hearts today. We pray that each one of us would receive your word into our hearts and understand what you're saying to us. Thank you so much for the salvation we have in Christ, and thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.